A pair of conversations for you today. One player off to a career best start. The other finds himself in an early season pressure cooker. What they share, Jack Hughes and Evan Bouchard, is they're both going to play outdoors this season. We'll tee up the Heritage Classic in detail straight ahead, plus why Connor McDavid's injury in Edmonton could be a fix for the Oilers' slow start, and game-changing numbers. I'm a nerd, and I have brand new stats for you. It's on The Chirp with Darren Millard.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
What are you going to do? You! That's a disgrace! That's a disgrace! What a joke!
Huzzah! Oh, how'd that feel, old man?
Hit him, light him up,
Yeah, nice hit! That's solid.
An admission right out of the gate. Good to be with you. That's not it. But all those chirps that you hear on the intro to this podcast, Bob Bender put them together. I've spent legitimate time trying to figure out who offered them, where they were from, down to the game, because some of them are a little more obvious than others, but Bender won't tell me. Producer Bob will not let me know until I've got 90% of them, and I continue my work towards that in the subsequent episodes throughout the season. Maybe I'll get closer and closer, and then I'll make sure that you know all about it. In the meantime, congratulations going out to Philadelphia, Montreal, Detroit, and Columbus, all off to fantastic starts this year. We were expecting Detroit to make that next step to challenge for a playoff spot and possibly get in the Atlantic, but still marvelous with Dylan Larkin and Alex DeBrincat. What a connection they have going. Looking for their first 40-goal score with the Detroit Red Wing franchise since the mid-2000s and Marian Hossa. So awesome stuff going on there. Philadelphia, Montreal, Columbus, nothing was really expected as far as getting into the playoff mix, but it chops off a month of suffering when you're in a rebuilding phase. It's not the most positive thing to say, but getting through 1 month with a lot of positive, especially within the first month, you can have a great third month, but you've already dug yourself a hole. This is a little bit different, and I'm not going to go down the path that Philadelphia, under Keith Jones and company, are going to turn it around that fast. Not going to happen, but still, it's fun to watch, and having Philadelphia in the mix right now just gives it a little more jam. On the perfection side, like this was expected. Colorado and Vegas, the last two Stanley Cup champions, perfect out of the gate in the first couple of weeks, joined by Boston. Two of those three, no surprise at all. Could have saw it from a million miles away. Outside of the distractions when you're a Stanley Cup champion, Vegas returning so many people, you knew they were going to be strong in the Pacific. And Colorado, despite all the injuries a year ago, were right there for the Western Conference's top seed. Boston, I didn't believe last year. Had no idea that they were going to be that good. I thought it would be a challenge just to make the playoffs. But starting the way they have now, being one of the last three teams with a perfect record, is even more impressive than a year ago in the start that they got off because of the losses in Bergeron and what they went through without Krejci. Like, it's really, really impressive. And Jim Montgomery called them out last week, said they have to be better, and they were in going through Southern California and beating the LA Kings and then pulling out a victory against the Anaheim Ducks in what was a scoreless game through two periods. If you're Seattle and you're Edmonton, you're Buffalo, or you're Washington, you're not buried. It's not like panic time yet. But I can tell you, Seattle underperformed to what I expected in the first year. Just expansion of the rules and what we saw from Vegas in their turn. And they had so much time to prepare for the expansion draft. I thought they were going to be better in the first year. That happened in the second year, and they were fantastic. But this stumbling out of the gate, and they made some interesting personnel decisions in the offseason, letting a couple of guys walk, not qualifying them. So I'll be really dialed in to see what Seattle does in this Pacific division. And Edmonton, the same thing. Like, so many expectations around the Oilers, and there's some controversy brewing with personnel along with the Connor McDavid injury. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But Buffalo, but expectations do some strange things to teams. They were great climbing their way out when they were just a fun young team. Now you're expected to make that step. And they've put themselves in a position where there's some adversity going on. Washington, I have to admit, the Alexander Ovechkin watch isn't on by any means, but he went back-to-back games without a shot. Like, without a shot. And that's unheard of for Alexander Ovechkin. Spencer Carberry is the new coach there, and would I be wrong in saying he would take a breakout game from Ovi just to silence that part of the world as much as he would a victory right now? Everybody's going to talk about the win. That'll be most important, but it might be closer if you're going to get everybody in a quiet room and promise I'm not going to say anything, but this is what I'd really like, just to quiet the noise around Alexander Ovechkin. You go too much longer and it starts to creep up. I will say, though, in looking back to a year ago, he started the season with 5 of his 6 games going without a goal. He had 2 goals in his first 6 games. Both came in one game. But 5 of the first 6 games, he did not score, Alexander Ovechkin, and he finished with 42. So more patience here, but it's something that I think bodes watching as we move forward. And we're keeping an eye on what the Edmonton Oilers are doing right now. Connor McDavid is injured, out 1 to 2 weeks at this stage. They play about 6 games over that stretch. Let's call him doubtful for the Heritage Classic that's coming up at Commonwealth Stadium, venerable Commonwealth Stadium in the city of Edmonton. Looking forward to the Oilers and the Flames meeting outdoors for the first time. There's a lot going on here. Of course, Calgary trying to get back into the mix in the Western Conference, and Edmonton wanted to start better. You heard from Connor McDavid a couple of weeks ago on the Chirp podcast saying they had to start better this year to try and establish something throughout the season to build towards the Stanley Cup playoffs. Well, the good start didn't happen, and it's just opened themselves up. And I'm looking at this right now, and I think there's an opportunity. I really do. That this early season stumble, the stubbing of the toe in the first couple of weeks, could end up being the one thing that gives Edmonton the ultimate confidence to go deep in the Stanley Cup playoffs, as deep as Connor McDavid's ever been or Leon Draisaitl in going to a Stanley Cup final. That is for the next few months to watch to see if they can turn it around. The next 2 weeks is really up to the players that are on the ice right now, and we'll get into that. One of those is Evan Bouchard, who's going to play in his first ever outdoor game at the Heritage Classic, and he stopped by the Chirp podcast to talk about it. Perfect timing. You got a snowstorm coming through, gets you in the mood for the Heritage Classic.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
So how far in advance have you been looking at the forecast for Sunday?
If I'm being honest, I haven't looked once, but you know, in Edmonton, it could really snow any day, and I guess today's the day, and I guess we'll see if it keeps going.
I can't believe you haven't looked ahead to the weather forecast.
I know, I definitely probably should have, but I feel like, you know, things are lining up just perfectly right now.
What would be the ideal temperature for a player?
For a player? I mean, you don't want it too cold, but I feel like anywhere from -5 to 15, I think.
That's good. So -5 to -15?
Yeah, that's my guess. I don't know. I've never actually done one of these, played in one of them. So that's just what I think.
Okay, well, it's going to be a little bit warmer than that. You're good. Just a touch warmer. So you're right in the wheelhouse.
Okay, perfect.
So you've never done one before. What do you think will be the biggest difference, one the most noticeable thing for a player?
Definitely the stadium. That's going to be different in a good way. You know, with some of these things, I've heard the you never know how the ice condition is depending on weather, obviously, like we were just talking about, and the fact that no one's ever played on the ice before. But, you know, I'm excited to see what it's all about.
Have you skated outdoors? Have you played in minor hockey, a real game outdoors?
I've never actually done a real game outdoors, but growing up, there was always a lot of pond hockey going on. So I think I'll bring back some of those memories a little bit.
Depth perception, I'm told, is always the thing that players have to adjust to.
Yeah, I guess that's going to be something that's different. I've been in that stadium before for a football game. It is definitely noticeably bigger, so I'm pretty excited.
You gonna wear some eye black, like try and be a football player?
I might put it on, take a picture, and then wipe it off. I don't know.
Did you play football? Did you play any other sport like that where you would wear it?
No, I've actually never had it on before, so I don't know what the whole protocol is there.
Going into an event like this, the uniforms are always a big part of it. What did you think of the kit?
I think it's great. I think it's different and it's very unique. And you know, I think they look good. We wore them for practice. I think everyone liked them so far. So,
how long does it take you to break in gloves and pants?
I feel like nowadays it's pretty easy. You throw them in the heater and wear them once and you should be good to go.
So you throw them in the dryer?
They got a couple of skate heaters where you mold your skates and stuff. You throw gloves in there, throw whatever equipment you need in there. And, you know, it's just like that. It's broken in.
How many sets of gloves do you have for an outdoor game? 3, 4?
I'm thinking only one.
Really?
I don't know. I hope I don't have to go through more than one.
How many would you wear during a regular game?
Oh, just one. I'm not too picky with that stuff. I need one of everything and I'm good to go.
I found the unicorn, the person that's good with everything, just one set of everything.
Yeah, I don't like switching gear too often, so that's just me.
What have you been greeted with outside anticipation of this? Who's most excited in your world, whether it's friends or family?
Yeah, I think family's pretty excited. I have my mom coming down. She seems pretty stoked for it and excited. And honestly, I think I might be the most excited out of them all. So I'm excited, ready to get it going.
Mom's certainly looked at the forecast. I would think having to be out there watching it.
I would hope so, because you never know coming from Ontario to Edmonton if you need to pack shorts or if you need to pack a winter jacket.
I think you might need a little bit of both this week. Is this any type of distraction to the start to the season? Does it work in your favor at all?
Yeah, I think it's something to look forward to. I think it's excitement. I think it brings the team that much closer, and games like this, they don't happen too often. So you really want to make the most out of it. And you really don't want to, go down losing a game like that.
Does it mean extra against Calgary, or do we make too much of that?
No, I think there's always that rivalry going on with Calgary. Whether it's in Edmonton here or at, the place, their stadium in Edmonton or in Calgary, there's always, the hype around it. Fans love it. I know the players love it. And to have an outdoors game like this is going to be pretty special.
And it means something to both hockey clubs right now with the starts.
For sure. I think, we're going the right direction here. I think, we have the upside. We just got to execute. And, I think we have a bright future here.
Does it make it tougher to buy in and really get your head around the game, given that the start hasn't been what you wanted?
I think that dials you in a little bit more. It's five games into the season. It's not like it's, we're halfway through the year playing, a lot of catch up here. But that being said, we can't fall too far behind the eight ball, and we got to get our game back to where we want it pretty soon.
I don't know about Connor's possibility for Sunday or not, but that would have been great to watch him if he doesn't go. We're going to miss out on an opportunity to watch him go down the sidelines, because that's what I was thinking about the whole time.
Yeah, I guess I never thought of it that way. I guess we'll have to wait and see, but I think you're right. It's something that we're definitely going to miss if he's not playing.
Thanks for doing this. Stay warm. How many layers? Are you a layer guy, or do you even have a clue on how you're going to dress for Sunday?
If I'm being honest, I have no idea what I'm going to do. I'm going to go see what other people are doing and go off of that.
Okay, seriously, you haven't looked at the forecast. You're not sure about layers. I'm not sure that I didn't just break the news that you're playing outdoors.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know what I'm getting myself into here. So I guess I'm going to have to wait and find out.
Have fun, though, and we'll be watching. It's going to be a great spectacle.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Depending what happens going into the Heritage Classic, it might end up being the most intense outdoor game that we've seen, at least when it comes to pressure being on one of these clubs. And the Oilers certainly at the forefront of that with their slow start. And it's all about balance. There's some teams that are getting incredible production throughout their lineup this year, forwards and defense. The Edmonton Oilers, this shouldn't come as a big surprise, but it was shocking when I took a deeper dive into it, entered the week with 9 skaters having recorded a point. 9 skaters. There's 18 per game. And by now, you've played more than 18. Half the roster on the Oilers has been snubbed going into this week. They need more, and they need more now with Connor McDavid being sidelined with injury. And then you get into the individual players. Like Leon Draisaitl, he's got to channel this intensity. I saw his reaction after the game against Winnipeg. He was not happy. We're used to that. We've seen that feistiness out of Leon Draisaitl before. He's not a fan of the noise. I know that. But he needs to outwardly be a calming, reassuring voice for that group. And then do what I've seen him do before, and that's carry this group. Opportunity. Think about it. An opportunity for Leon Draisaitl to perform right now, and then in 2 months' time, in 3 months' time, I'm doing a lot of looking ahead today, 4 months' time, the announcer's talking about, you know what, remember when Connor McDavid was out? Leon Draisaitl was the guy, and he took it to not just the next level, but a couple of levels beyond that, and helped them get through that 3-game stretch, 5-game stretch, maybe 7-game stretch, and really solidified the situation with the Edmonton Oilers, where they turned a real negative into a positive. But there's others along this route that need to be able to perform. Think about Evander Kane. He's 32 years old. There's a good chance that his best year, he's got a couple more years left in his contract, but a good chance his best years are behind him. But the comments to Scott Oak on the weekend in the intermission interview just sent you down a path wondering whether Evander Kane turns into part of the distraction or part of the solution. Like, his goal scoring's dropped off the last 3 years. He has to get involved and be a goal scorer right now. Not to McDavid's level, because he doesn't play that game, but he's got to be able to find a way to contribute with this team instead of what sounded like was carrying on a little bit of bickering during the intermission with his head coach. But on a full perspective from 30,000 feet with Edmonton, is this the time, the moment, without the best player on the planet, that the commitment occurs to keeping that puck out of the net at the other end? You can't expect to play 2 weeks without Connor McDavid and just continue along with the same approach. And that's, you're going to score a lot of goals. You may allow a couple, but you're going to be able to outscore the other team. If you're playing on your game, you're going to be able to outscore the other team, whether it's on the power play or through 5-on-5. Is this the moment where everybody doubles down and really treats it like a playoff game almost in the sense of defending and does whatever it takes to really build up some confidence with this team going into the Heritage Classic and then into the next couple of weeks? Because there's potential that you can use this to your advantage. Then when Connor comes back, everybody's comfortable playing that way and you can add a couple more layers offensively to your team. I think that is there right now. And the Edmonton Oilers are certainly looking at that as a possibility. But possibility has to be channeled into execution. And for that, you got to be able to shut out the rest of the world. And there's a lot of noise around this team right now and be able to execute. And that's something that when the pressure's on is hard to do. If you're just a team middling through a season without a lot of expectations and you overachieve, well, everything's great. New Jersey was not totally like that, but in a similar vein last year where you didn't expect New Jersey to be challenging for the Metropolitan lead, but they did in the end. And now they're part of the mix when it comes to that deep division. And like Edmonton, they're going to play outdoors. There's four outdoor games this year. There's the Heritage Classic, and then there's the Winter Classic between Seattle and Vegas up in Seattle. And then you've got the Stadium Series, and that's a doubleheader. You've got the Flyers and New Jersey Devils. They will kick things off at MetLife Stadium in February, followed by the Islanders and the Rangers. And who's the best team out of the New York area? A lot of people think it's the New Jersey Devils, by the way they played last year, and there's certainly star power there. I think the Rangers have some give and some push to come in that regard, but the flashiest team is certainly the New Jersey Devils with somebody like a Jack Hughes. Now, by the time that Stadium Series rolls around, Jack Hughes could be an MVP candidate. The way that the sizzle and the production and the Luke Hughes going and everybody else that's part of that group. Yes, for Brad, I just love him. The team that can make things happen and get a lot of attention and feeds that possibility of Jack Hughes being one of the top five players in the game right now. And he's got a personality to match that. I sat down with him a couple of weeks ago at the Player Media Tour, and I want you to listen to his overall attitude, because he's just a fun guy, but he'll challenge you a little bit too. Like, he'll throw at this guy, that guy, like talking about me and what I'm putting towards him. And we went down a couple of different paths. One was sneakers with suits. I'm all in. That's all I have. Five new sets of Nikes. That's what I've got going right now, and I'm going to rotate them this year, and they look fabulous, from the black and gold to the blues, the little browns. It's good, but I can't pull up the pure whites like Jack does. But we get into that. Communications manager for the New Jersey Devils, Pete Albeats, comes in. He offers his opinion on it. We also have Steve Mayer, the chief content officer with the National Hockey League. He sat in on this interview as we went around the world with Jack Hughes' summer. It was a summer tour, and now it's a winter full of dreams for Jack and the New Jersey Devils, who will play their own outdoor game, but in a little while, and hopefully for their sake, are riding this early season momentum. Here's Jack on the Chirp with Darren Millard. Threads, you always show up at this looking good. Give me an idea of what you're wearing here.
I try to look good, yeah.
Yeah?
I got the maroon suit on, the white shoes, and the white shirt, so that's it.
Are you full sneakers with suits now?
Yeah, I am. It helps when you're playing better, you know. When you're doing well on the ice, you can. Pete doesn't love it, though. But yeah, I like to wear sneakers with my shoes. I'm pretty much 75 out of the 82 games sneakers.
Okay, Pete, come over here for a second. Come here. Just why don't you like the sneakers?
It's not that I don't like it. There's just a time and a place, and sometimes we get a little versatility with the suit game. A little tight shoes, maybe a wingtip, class it up a bit. He can do it. He can pull it off.
A little bit of a suggestion. I'm with you, Jack. Let's embrace this. I've gone deep into this. Now, are you only swoosh, or do you mix that up?
No, I mix it up. My game on the ice would show that I would wear sneakers off the ice too. So that's why I do it.
That's well done. Little consistency right across the board. Embrace that flair, right?
Trying.
Yeah? What's the summer been like for you? I've been watching you on social media, so walk me through this.
It's been good. Couple trips with the boys. Good to be home. Trained hard.
Where'd you go?
I went to the Jersey Shore. Went to Montreal for F1. Went out to Manhattan Beach. Obviously Nashville for the awards, that was fun. And then a few weddings too, so. I was on the move, but I also got to spend more than enough time back in Mish. So it was a really good summer.
So you guys a football game?
Went to, yep. Summer wouldn't be complete if I didn't go to one U of M football game, so. And I'm like, I didn't even go to U of M.
I know,
I'm saying it like a true fan.
You wore that jersey with like real pride.
Well, both my brothers went, yeah. And a lot of friends went, so it's like I feel a part of it as well.
Did I see the U.S. Open in there too?
Oh yeah, I did go to U.S. Open.
Just forget. What were your seats like?
They were pretty good. Yeah. It was Coco Gauff.
Yeah.
You know, she's the real deal. So it's a lot of fun watching that.
Okay, F1, U.S. Open, Michigan football. What was the coolest event?
I got to be honest. Like, I went with Cole, obviously, and Z. And Cole, like, had it done to the nines. Yep, yeah. To Formula One. So we were, like, completely set up. And I had no clue about Formula One. But then you show up, and it's like there's diehard fans, you know? And I was just blown away with that event. And, you know, Cole set us up perfectly. And a friend of his, Mark Smith, I'm teeing him up right now, but he did an amazing job helping us out. So we had a great weekend there. And then U of M game is always a blast. And I'll put U.S. Open in the three hole.
Do you play tennis?
I love playing tennis, yeah.
You any good?
I'm okay.
One-hand or two-hand or backhand?
Two-handed. Pretty fun though. Like, we'll at my country club, you have to put on all whites, so we'll all dress up with our all whites, and we're just whacking the ball around. Not playing that well, but it's fun.
Can you keep it inside the fence?
Yeah, like we're athletes, you know. Athletes.
Oh yeah, like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend.
Give
you.
Us whatever, we'll make it happen. But I'm not saying we're professional tennis players, but we're good. We're pretty good.
What was last year like for you? That first playoff game.
It was so great until the game started, because once the game started, we had a bad game one and a bad game two. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Devils Rangers, big rivalry, really close to each other. So when the Devils were playing well, it was the Devils Arena. And when the Rangers were playing well, it was the Rangers Arena. And that was at MSG and at the Pru. So games one and two were like road games. Game three was like Dougie scored that one goal and it was like the biggest goal of the year. Game four was like a Rangers game or a Devils game. And then it was just like, for that to be your first series is pretty incredible, with it being like Devils Rangers. And that's kind of how like I expected it to be when I got drafted to the Devils, and the Devils had the first pick and the Rangers had the second. You almost knew at some point we were going to hit each other like on a collision course. So that was a wild first series.
Is the rivalry back?
You guys tell me. I mean, when you're in it, it feels pretty back, you know? So I thought that was a pretty crazy series. And that was a bit of the tough part, was that was such an emotionally like draining series, because you got to remember Carolina was so far ahead of us for like two months leading up to the end of the season. So pretty much for 2-3 months, we knew that we were going to play the Rangers, and they knew they were going to play with us. And then, like, the last week of the season, I think Carolina, like, came back down to earth a little bit. And then, like, the last game, we could have grabbed the one seed if they lost. But then, I don't know, we might have just, like, ran out of gas emotionally heading into the Carolina series.
We've got the Islanders, who are in the mix, Rangers and Devils rivalry. Have you ever been part of anything like that?
I mean, no, it's pretty crazy, especially there's so many other sports teams going on there. But, you know, the Islanders were in the playoffs, Devils playoffs, Rangers playoffs. So just a lot happening in, like, the New York, New Jersey sports world, you know.
Do you ever invade the New York territory, go into the city and hang out a little bit? Yeah.
It's New York City all the time.
Yeah.
But thank God it's the biggest city in the world, you know? Never see any of these guys.
You're looking at me like I'm a complete idiot for asking that.
Well, I mean, it's not like fair that you would know. Like, I don't think people know how great New Jersey is until it takes us 10 minutes to get to New York. Like, I might be closer to New York than most of the Rangers guys, because they might live in Connecticut or whatever they do. I don't play for the Rangers, so I don't know, but we have it great, because then we go golf in the suburbs in New Jersey, or even the Jersey Shore for me. Like last weekend, I went fishing down in Point Pleasant. So it's like just a lot of good stuff there.
For what? What did you catch?
Flute. It was fun. Yeah. So you pulled up a stingray, but you don't know what's on the line. You just yank it up.
But you pulled up a stingray?
All of us did, but you don't touch them. You just cut the line, you know what I mean?
Who has a better life than you?
Probably a lot of people, but I like my life for me. You know, I'm living my dream, so it's pretty good for me.
99 points.
Yeah.
100? Is that a goal?
I mean, eventually down the road, I would like to get 100 points, whether it's this year or not. Of course, I'm pushing to do that. So, yeah, of course I want 100 points, but however it shakes out, you know, I think this is the first year where there's, like, really a lot of excitement for me going into the season because, you know, like, even last year, no one knew or expected us to be where we got to. It was kind of like, oh, are the Devils going to be a little better and whatnot? And, you know, this year now there's a lot of expectations, so it's a lot of fun.
Outdoor game. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it should be a great event. You know,
how many times have you played outdoors?
Zero. I mean, a game, zero.
How many times do you, like, skate outdoors?
My whole life. Yeah. That's what I grew up doing. I started on ponds.
Because you're at the age where a lot of guys don't do that. Like, they play outdoors.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, growing up, I remember my mom would drop us off at the rink. It was frozen tennis court. And we'd just be out there for, like, 5-6 hours. And then she'd pick us up. And that was our day, you know?
Yeah.
Like, go to school, then maybe not a practice. And you just go to the rink. So it was amazing. And I think, you know, that we get to do it when we're, like, an exciting team to watch, you know, it just makes it even better. So we're really fortunate that, you know, the NHL involved us in the game.
Who's the first family of hockey, the Tkachuks or the Hughes?
Definitely the Tkachuks. You know, I think we've followed them. Like, Keith obviously taught Brady and Matthew what they know. And Quinn, it's funny, like, Quinn lived with Keith and Brady, so we're all at Brady's wedding this summer. And just funny, I don't think it's definitely not a competition. It's more of, like, us giving the Tkachuks their flowers because, I mean, a lot of what we know is partly based to what they've done as a family as well.
You guys are looking towards the future. New Jersey Devils are trying to take a step back with Lindy Ruff getting an extension. What's your relationship like with him?
Yeah, Lindy is... been great for me because when he came in, I don't think I was a good player, but I'm not what I am today. And, you know, I think he saw the vision with me and he trusted me and he empowered me. And, you know, he's a lot of the reason why I am what I am today. And, you know, I think a coach player, you're always going to have your, like, moments where you're like, ah, this guy, and he's going to be like wanting to bench me because I turn a puck over or whatnot. But, you know, I think Lindy's a great person, and Lindy's been a great coach for me and the rest of our team. And, you know, he's the right guy leading the ship for us.
You guys, a lot of attention being paid to your shooting room. Was that your idea?
I think both of ours. You know, when we were kids, like, the first thing my dad would do when he would buy a house or rent a house would he put up plywood on the walls in the basement so we could just shoot pucks. And so everywhere we went, we had a shooting room. And then when me and Quinn got our house, I know the Vancouver video got a lot of, like, love or whatnot. But when we got the house, we were like, hell yeah, we got to have a sick shooting room. So
cut tricked out shooting room, right?
What's up?
It's a tricked out shooting room, like all the bells and whistles.
It's got what you need. I can't say it's, like, anything, like, insane, but it's really good for us. We put our roller skates on and turn the music on and just go shoot pucks.
Tunes and everything?
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. What are the tunes?
I listen to country, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that. One-timers, some fun here, okay? Who would you pick as a roommate?
Luke Hughes, because he's my roommate right now.
How much is he paying you?
Nothing.
Just bad deal. Last drive-thru that you went through?
Last drive-thru? Maybe Tim Hortons really early in the summer.
Have you ever drove a standard transmission car?
No.
Nicest car you've ever driven? Do you know what a standard transmission car
is? Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Nicest car you've ever driven?
Nicest car I've ever driven? I have no clue. I can't even...
You can't even narrow it down?
Well, I don't...
Like, for most of us, it's pretty obvious.
What's obvious for you?
Like, I don't have... I would say, like, a Porsche 911 I drove. But you've probably driven a bunch of nice cars.
I haven't, though.
Really?
No.
So it should be... Ever driven one with, like, butterfly doors or anything like that?
I play in the NHL. I'm not some car guru.
You're going to Formula One, U.S. Open, all that.
This guy thinks my car garage is insane. Like, it's just loaded up.
What's your car right now?
Just a Range Rover.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Movie theater or stream at home? What do you want to watch a flick with?
Probably stream at home.
Yeah. Best player on your 10-year-old team?
Best player on my 10-year-old team, Riley Damiani. Plays with AHL Texas Stars now. He could shoot the puck. He could do it all.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's still a good player.
Do you think he would say you just out of default on your 10-year-old team, or do you think he...
No, he was...
He was that good.
He was that guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Of the other three major sports, baseball, basketball, football, which one would you be best at?
If I played baseball growing up, so maybe baseball, but I would like to say basketball, but not tall enough.
Last concert you went to?
Last concert was, I think, Morgan Wallen.
Oh, good for you.
I saw him. He was pretty good. Dierks Bentley. Dierks. I saw Dierks, actually, and then he did
the awards?
Well, he did the awards like 2 weeks later. The only mistake I made was not getting a picture with him, because he's like been my favorite country guy for like years.
Okay, but we're going to set that up.
Yeah.
Okay. Stevie Mayer.
Well, it was just, like, it was honestly. Quick. It was quick. You remember? It was like.
We're gonna set that up.
No, he was in the zone. I didn't want to like, come on. I didn't want to be like, Mr. You know?
Steve Mayer is like somehow got into this very secure area. You know what? It's an echo. It's a dressing room. We wanted the guys to feel comfortable. Nothing gets things done like bringing you into this spot and making it happen. Hey, we're going to get that picture. We're going to make sure it happens because he's here. Because yeah. Steve here, okay? Nice job. Hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's this been like? 1 to 10. Rate this.
This our interview?
Conversation, yeah.
It's been great. Good combo. Good scenery. Yeah. 9.
That's a legitimate question. Like, who's got a better life? And or who enjoys their life more than Jack Hughes? Just openly embraces all of it, whether he's at the U.S. Open Tennis Championships, the Michigan football game, the wonderful world of F1, and then dials it into hockey, and he's flashy. There's the difference. He's flashy, but I think there's more to his game than just that. When you sit down and look at all the different aspects of his game, he doesn't cheat entirely. There's growth that will happen. I think he's learned to play a style that allows him to be healthier. He's not getting hit as much or putting himself in those vulnerable positions. And they're deeper. They're a team that can beat you in multiple ways. Goaltending will be the area that you're going to watch and see if they can solidify that or whether they commit long-term to players down the stretch here. One area where Jack Hughes is going to be very popular this year is the new NHL stats that just came out. This is awesome. It's on the website. Go to NHL.com. It's where you'll find all of it. And you've got your page with the standings, with the stats, and the same numbers that we've always seen are all still there. Your tried and trues, your goals, your assists, your points, your plus minus, your shots on goal, your time on ice, power play, special teams. It's all there. But then there's a subsection that's come out, and it'll be available all year, and it's called NHL.com/edge, and it really takes you in the world of analytics and some of the categories. I'm a stats nerd. Shane Knighty in our broadcast in Vegas always makes fun of me because I go down these rabbit holes and I can't get out. But I find them really, if you look at them the right way, can be telling about different teams or reinforces different teams. So on NHL.com/edge, you've got shot speed, shot location, so where they're shooting from, and that goes for goaltenders too, where they're facing the shots from. Skating speed individually and as a team. Distance for the skating. And zone time. So the amount that players are spending in the middle of the ice, if defending or whether you're in the offensive zone. So let's take a look at Artemi Panarin. He is number one
in ozone time. But he's number two in defensive zone time. I don't know what that really tells you, but I was surprised just at the fact that you can be number one in ozone and number two in defensive zone and being on your heels. Now, he's way more in the other end. 55% of his time on the ice, actually, is in the offensive zone. Distance skated is something that we've always wondered. Everybody talks about how much time a player spends on the ice and how much distance they will cover throughout a game. And check out Seth Jones is number one in distance, the Chicago Blackhawk defenseman. 21 miles so far at recording time that he'd covered so far. Number one in distance, fifth in ice time. So that correlates, right? You're near the top in ice time, so you have to have traveled the most as far as distance on the ice. Here's the thing. Nikita Kucherov is right up there in distance traveled. He's second in distance, but he's 57th in ice time. Does that not give you an indication of the type of game Tampa Bay plays? Not, you look at it on the ice and you go, they're up-tempo. They're up and down the ice. Yeah, but he's 57th in ice time, and he's second in distance traveled. That's Nikita Kucherov. The top 22 in ice time are all defensemen, but three of the top five in distance are the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, there's defensemen in there, we know, because of Victor Hedman. He's there. But Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov are in the top five in distance traveled, and they're not near the top in average ice time. So just some funny little insights into the different analytics of hockey. And you've got top speed. This is a fascinating. I always thought Connor McDavid would be light years ahead. He's not. Like, there's short spurts, he's in. And they give you that. Short spurts over 20 miles an hour. Short spurts 21 to 22 miles an hour. Connor McDavid is certainly up there. But Colorado, when it comes to team speed, is the top. Then it's Edmonton, and then it's Tampa Bay. So the three fastest teams, Colorado, Edmonton, Tampa Bay. Surprise? No. That's where the eye test meets with the numbers, right? It backs up what you're seeing. So Vegas, by the way, Stanley Cup champions, four-line team, rolling. They're seventh in when it comes to team speed. So check that out. I encourage you to spend, if you've got an hour, go through and just click around. The goaltending stats are fascinating. Where goaltenders are facing the most shots from. Jonas Johansson, Tampa Bay, 54 shots from high danger. And he hasn't allowed a goal from in tight in that side. And Julian Breezeball may have had an access to NHL.com/edge beforehand because he was very confident and Johansson was going to be able to hold the Tampa Bay Lightning in the race until Andre Vasilevsky comes back. Fun stuff. Let me know what you think. Send me a direct message. Love to get your opinion on NHL.com/edge. Will you use it at all? Do you find it interesting, or is it just a bunch of numbers and it'll just go in one ear out the other? I love it. I can't get enough of it. We'll use it on our broadcasts in Vegas. I want to thank our friends over at the Edmonton Oilers, Evan Bouchard, awesome stuff, and Connor McDavid for a couple of weeks ago. We hope he's healthy. You tend to really be cautious with star players with injury. That's a no-brainer. When it comes to outdoor games, you kind of double it. Really, you don't want something to happen on ice that may not be perfect. It's great. They do an awesome job there. But with temperature not being ideal and ice potential issues, you don't want to put your star player in. So I'll be shocked, quite honestly, if he ends up going on Sunday. But appreciate all the help in the Edmonton Oilers and Jack Hughes. That's the second time we've had him on the Chirp podcast, and he's been absolutely lights out in both them. And if I could hang out with that guy, whether it's tennis, Formula One, US Open, playing around the golf, that guy would be a hoot. Did I just say that? That guy would be a blast of playing around a golf with all his buddies or just his brothers in that that battle. Tkachuks and Hughes, not be a battle on the ice, but a battle for notoriety. Luke's coming, and Quinn, we know what he can do. Appreciate that. Pete and company with the New Jersey Devils. Of course, you for listening to the Chirp Podcast. Rambled a lot today. Had a lot to say. Get off my chest. I hope you like this stuff. The Chirp Podcast with Darren Millard.